Nice. What a beautiful song. That's and what a true song. And so between the song and Aida's beautiful gathering prayer this morning, you already have a sermon in your pocket. So thank you all for the group contribution that we make to consciousness. Thank you. Before we start this morning, I'd like to acknowledge a couple of people that experienced an incredible transition in their lives during this summer. We have two people who were ordained as Unity ministers this summer. The first one is Maggie Alderman, and Maggie has been a longtime member of this community. She served us in many ways, especially as coordinator of the Youth of Unity. She left us a few months ago so that she could do her required internship at Unity of New Braunfels. So she finished her work and was graduated in June of this year. We're trying to get her picture up. There she is. She graduated lovely afternoon in June, and then later that afternoon was ordained as a Unity minister. What was really lovely is that this ceremony took place remotely, so each of the new candidates was in their own churches when it was happening. And so it was fun for me, having worked with Maggie and sponsored her throughout the last part of her education, to be able to watch her online. She was selected to give the commencement speech by her class. And so we're very proud of Reverend Maggie Alderman for her graduation and ordination, and we welcome her as a new minister in our movement. The second person we'd like to acknowledge today is Carol Rainey Moncada. Carol is and has been a longtime member of Unity of Austin, that's led by Reverend Anna Schaus, a colleague of mine. And Carol has served in many ways in that church, on the board, as an educator and teacher, as a platform speaker. And she came to us a few months ago to do her required internship with us. And it was apparent from the very beginning that Carol already had so many of the skills and the consciousness required to be a minister of a congregation. So Carol finished her education actually early and then did her internship with us. So on the same afternoon that Maggie was ordained as a Unity minister, Carol was ordained as a Unity minister. So we congratulate Reverend Carol Rainey Moncada on her new position as a Unity minister. Congratulations to Carol. And we wish both of these people the very best in their life of service as ministers. I know that my mentor and sponsor said to me a long time ago, don't go into ministry unless you absolutely cannot not do it. And so to become a minister is a tremendous, it's a tremendous act of courage to do that, because the vocation is challenging and rewarding. It takes you places you never imagined you would go. And so I stand with them, as you do, as they begin this incredible journey into their God-given vocations. And so now, on with our message today, the monsters we can't see. And I really appreciate what Sue did in picking the slide that she did for the monsters, because they're kind of cute little monsters. And that's a good way for us to think about the monsters that are the fear liar that Kit and Katie Marie just sang about. I have to tell you that there are some days as a minister that I am so pumped up and ready to speak that it just comes bursting out of me, and I'm so excited to stand up and get ready to do it. And then there are some Sundays, like today, where that juice just doesn't feel like it's flowing. And those are the days that I can expect God to do things that I don't expect. So I had a difficult day yesterday. I've had a hard time shaking it off. And so as I drove in this morning, I was thinking, man, I don't know. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can do it today. I don't know if I can get down there in my guts and my heart and bring what I have to bring today. But what I'm talking about right now is what this message is about. You see, that anxiety and that fear that I would not do my best is something that is created out of my own mind and my own ego. Yuck. Because really what I do when I stand here is I bring the words that are inspired by Spirit that come through my brain and my heart and out of my mouth to speak to you, to hopefully reflect some of the same things that you're going through. So if you would like, wherever you are watching this, if you've had a bad day in the last week, you can go ahead and raise your hand because we seem to be having a mix of good days and bad days during our time of isolation, our time of being more apart from each other, a time of seeing our country kind of get itself torn into pieces so that we can figure out how to put it back together. And one of the main purposes that I have for speaking and connecting with you is so that we can be instruments of the putting back together part. It's vital and it's essential. And so any fears that we have about being able to do that, any fear that I have about being able to stand up here and bring what I need to bring to you today, don't really matter. They are monsters that we create on our own. And as the song said, they're liars, those fears. What may also hold you back besides fear is perhaps a feeling of inadequacy, a feeling of apathy, maybe feelings of anger. Maybe you're consumed with anger about something and you can't move through it to live your best self. And so we're going to deal with all of that this month. Our Wednesday night class this month is based on a booklet that is published by Unity called 30 Days to Fearless Living. And it's pretty timely, I would say. Very timely. Because we're living in a time that can engender fear. Sometimes it's real fear for safety. You know, we take the safety precautions that we take when we're out there in the world because we don't want to get sick, we don't want to make anybody else sick, etc. But it's also kind of a free-floating fear that can infect our daily lives. We don't really know where it's coming from. We don't really know what it's about. We really don't know what the anxiety is coming from, except that our routine is different. And I read something the other day. People said, okay, I'm really thankful for these moments of stillness and inactivity that I have during this pandemic. But I'm afraid that when it's over, I won't keep doing that. I'm afraid that when it's over, I'll forget that I had all these moments for reflection. And so I'm going to share with you this morning words that come from other Unity ministers and speakers that are words, you know, when you read them, you go, gosh, I wish I'd said that. Because it's something that we already know. We just don't know that we know it. And good writers and good speakers identify for us the things that are living inside us that we haven't yet been able to identify or verbalize. So first of all, I'd like to give you, let's start out with a prayer of comfort. How about that? Many of you have been stopping in your day with me to pray the 23rd Psalm. So let me read it first. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And I've noticed that when I set my alarm for noon each day, no matter what I'm doing, I may be in the middle of a conversation, if I can just for a moment say, the Lord is my shepherd, it reminds me that I'm not taking this journey alone and that I have it within me all the time, in all places, in all circumstances. I have a guiding spirit. I have a guiding spirit. That's all I need to know. That's all any of us needs to know, that we are never alone. So let me give you the definition of fear from the Revealing Word, a dictionary of metaphysical terms that was compiled by Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity. First of all, from Webster's dictionary, fear is painful emotion marked by alarm, dread, disquiet. That's a good word for some of those vague feelings that we're having right now, disquiet. Because you know disquiet because you also know what quiet is. So when if you're not experiencing the quiet, you might be experiencing the disquiet. Pretty simple. Fillmore says fear is a paralyzer of mental action. It weakens both mind and body. Fear throws dust in our eyes and hides the mighty spiritual forces that are always with us. Blessed are those who deny ignorance and fear and affirm the presence and power of spirit. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or whatever other affirmation works for you. God is my ever-abiding companion. I have nothing to fear. And here's the next paragraph. Fear, how to overcome. Fear, comma, how to overcome. Fear is cast out by perfect love. To know divine love is to be selfless, and to be selfless is to be without fear. The God-conscious person is filled with quietness and confidence. Yep, there it is. And you know, my friends, we can make that shift just like that. From, oh my God, what's about to happen next? To, I have the confidence and the power of God within me to face whatever comes my direction. Now, we can pack a whole lot of theology into that. But that's what it's about right there. It's not always easy, but it's that simple. One of the teachers that writes in the booklet for this month is the Reverend Jim Rosemurgy. He had quit teaching by the time I went through ministerial school in the early 90s, but he was always around. And he's a prolific writer and still a practicing Unity minister. He says human beings fear many things, ranging from loud noises to public speaking, which is supposed to be the number one fear, to feelings, to failures, to success, to death. I don't know a single human being who has not experienced fear. However, I do know people who have not allowed fear to dominate their lives. Jim was a combat veteran. And so he knows about that kind of fear in which you think that your life might be in danger. That's a good fear. That's a normal fear. That's a healthy fear. Because if we're in absolute danger of something happening to our lives, we have that which kicks in, which helps us put ourselves in the place of safety. But he says wherever there is fear, there's also the possibility of courage. To be brave is not to be without fear, but to be able to act in the spirit of fear. Unknowingly, fear is the first call for the courageous spirit of God that is our true selves. Now let's think of it that way. Why don't we? Fear is our first call to courage. So we might begin to start training ourselves so that we can say, oh, I'm feeling afraid right now. I must be getting called to courage for something. Instead of fear taking us through that spiral that gets us further and further spun up where we can't act, we can't be quiet. But instead, let's look at it as a call to courage. However, now I am challenged by fears of a different nature. Perhaps they are fears that we share and which we can move beyond together. I wonder at times if I'm doing my best. Do you wonder that? I question whether I'm living the life that I'm meant to live. Am I resisting the divine plan? Does my life make a difference? Am I living a life of purpose? Can you see the nature of my concern? Perhaps these fears can be summed up with the question, am I in some way saying no to God? That is my greatest fear. And I just love it that Jim wrote these words. I always tell people when they ask me these questions, am I living my best life? Am I serving my divine purpose? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I saying yes to God or no to God? And here's what I say to you. Only people who are concerned about doing their best and living in spirit and living for that divine urge, living to say yes, those people are the only ones that ever ask those questions. People who aren't living in spirit don't even think of the questions. Those questions are not, they may in a fleeting way, but those questions are not a primary concern. People who are bound to God and know it, are living a consciously spiritual life, are the ones that wonder if they're living a spiritual life. You understand that contradiction there? So every now and then when you ask yourself that question, say, I must be invested in a spiritual life or I wouldn't be asking the question. But for our greatest fear to be that we might be saying no to God, wow, that is something for us to pay attention to. Because the next yes is an act of courage, and that overcomes fear. It doesn't make the fear go away all the time, but it overcomes it for the moment. So ask yourself, is what I'm doing now a no or a yes? That's how you battle the monsters. You know, they say, and I've spoken to you about this before, they say, and if you're taking a shaman's journey, that sometimes you experience a moment, and I'm talking like in the jungle kind of shaman journey, you know, the way out kind of shaman journey. Then you'll have a moment where you're being pursued by a monster. And you will continue to be pursued by that monster until you turn around and face it. And as you face it, it evaporates. Wow. So it's good for us to identify our fear and then to go ahead and do what's next anyway. Period. Because you know how uncomfortable it is to stay paralyzed in fear. It's because it's against our true nature. When we willingly enter into our fears, they lose their power. And the power that God is rises up to say, "Fear not, I am with you. We have a work to do together." The next author that I love in this study is Ian Lawton. I know nothing about Ian Lawton, but I love what he wrote. The original title I had for this talk was Lions and Tigers and Bears. Go ahead and finish with the oh my. But we've used that title before, and so just out of my head I said, okay, let's call it The Monsters We Can't See, without realizing that day two of this study is called Calming the Worry Monsters, and today, day two is today. Calming the Worry Monsters. So every day is full of situations we can't fully control, Ian Lawton says. What if? What if I don't get the job? What if I never find the right person to marry? What if I move and still don't find what I'm looking for? What if I get pregnant and the baby has a rare disorder? What if? Worry is a challenge for all of us at times, and worry is a big challenge right now. Worry is not bad. It's not all bad. But it's not all it thinks it is. Do you see that he has taken worry and made it a separate entity from us? Worries about the future sometimes serve a purpose to help us troubleshoot potential pitfalls. So worry serves that purpose for us to put safeguards in place. So he says it's all about mastery, letting the worries work for you, not being run by worries. That's the monsters chasing you. With awareness of what's playing out in your mind, you can steer worry in helpful directions to make it work. If you let worry run your life, it will do so with glee. And you know what that feels like? That feels like waking up in the middle of the night with your heart beating too fast. That's worry having a gleeful moment. Mastering worry has a lot to do with timing. Decide to address issues if and when they arise, but not a moment sooner. As Atticus Finch often told his kids in To Kill a Mockingbird, it's not time to worry yet. Reverend Galen McDowell has an article about faith over fear and reminds us that Charles Fillmore wrote about faith being the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. So Charles talked that way a lot. So you have to kind of suss through what he said there and parse those words out a little bit. It's the perceiving power of the mind, one of our spiritual gifts, with the ability to shape substance, that which is unseen but is the substance of God, in which we can believe in the things in which we cannot yet see. And so faith, most of the time, precedes that which we can see before the demonstration is there. But we have the power to shape that. It's our ability to see the possibilities of life. It sees ideas where fear sees disbelief. Faith sees opportunities where fear sees obstacles. Faith sees potential where fear sees problems. Faith sees abundance where fear sees lack and limitation. Faith allows us to work with God's omnipresent substance, which is infinite possibility, and shape it into a manifestation of good we can understand and use in our lives. That's a powerful gift that we have. It's a powerful gift for us to know that faith lives in us. There's not a getting more faith goal in life. It's understanding better the faith that we already have. It's letting it replace other things. And it's, you see, it's not a Pollyanna issue. Oh, everything's going to be fine. While meantime on the inside you're going, maybe it's going to be fine, but I'm not really sure. It's saying, God is at work here. What possibilities can I see? And when you do that, I promise you that your eyes start to see differently, your ears start to hear differently, your mind starts to pay attention differently. and you see things that fear was blocking from you. So I want you to play around with this idea for a little bit. This is not about stamping out fear so you never have it again. That is not an authentic spiritual life. That's still an ego-centered life. I can kill my fear. It will no longer be in my life. Wrong. You're going to have fear. It's part of the human condition. And what we're doing in this human condition is learning how to master those things that would overcome us with our spiritual gifts. That's what we're about here. We're living a spiritual life. We're inside a human body. I still say that this is the reward for spiritual maturity, is getting to live in a body and find mastery over life within it. Wow. Alan Cohen, oh, just an amazing author. If you've not ever read Alan Cohen's work, he's an incredible author. Look him up, Alan Cohen. So he says, when faced with fear, anger, or guilt in yourself or another, ask yourself, is there another way to look at this that would bring me more ease, relief, or peace? And he reminds us that A Course in Miracles says, would you rather be right or happy? That might be something you ask yourself the next time you get a little sideways with, oh, your beloved, or a family member, or anybody else who kind of gets underneath your skin. I talked about it on Thursday in my little midday reflection. Don't get into fights with people on social media. It's just dumb. And it gets us nowhere. And I can say that because I've done it. And it's pretty darn useless. You want to go back and put all those words just back in your fingers and make them evaporate. So ask yourself if you'd rather be right or happy. And I can tell you that if you see an argument that you want to get drawn into on social media or with somebody in the store or your family member or whatever, just ask yourself, if I walked away from this right now, would I be okay? Probably, yeah. Because I've noticed that those fights I wanted to get into on social media, I can't even remember now what they were about. I can guarantee you that if I would have written something in response, it'd still be nagging around in the back of my head. So I'm glad I'm happy. He says, the title of his daily meditation says, pray to be wrong. How about that one? Pray to be wrong about everything that hasn't worked in your life so you can be right about everything that could work and will. What a great way to look at that. Pray to be wrong about everything that hasn't worked in your life so you can be right about everything that could work. Wow. So just think about that for a moment. Especially when things aren't going the way you'd like them to and you've made a mistake or something hasn't worked out. If you can just ask yourself, gosh, I could pray to be wrong so I could figure out a different way to do this. That's a brave prayer, my friends. And do you notice that you might have a little fear about doing that? And fear is the thing that we go ahead and walk through with courage. Again, we're not trying to obliterate it. We're saying, thank you very much. I appreciate you trying to have some control over this situation, but I've got this. God and I have got this. So thank you for the information, and I'm going to carry on anyway. With courage and faith and an ability and a willingness to learn and move on. And I can tell you right now, I'm just checking in with myself. I feel better now than I did when I started this talk, because I feel spirit right beside me, all around me, in everywhere. And I, you know, they say, some teachers, when you're going through ministerial school, will say, you know, don't disclose too much about yourself. And others will say, yes, disclose about yourself so people can identify with you. Well, I guess I'm giving you the opportunity to identify with me today, because now I'm feeling energized. Because spirit did something. Spirit took my muddy, sluggish energy, cleared a path for me. So my prayer is, gee, I was wrong. I let worry and anxiety kind of get in my way, and I stepped into the fear and did what had to be done, which was speak to you, my beloved ones. You are my joy. You are the fulfillment of the call of my heart. And so even though I can't see you in person right now, I know you're there. And that gives me more joy and fulfillment than you can imagine. I want to say that to everybody that's in this room right now. I'm going to try to do it without crying, because I love you. Because this work and doing it with you, it's the best. So as we move into our meditation today, I'm going to read to you a prayer that was written by one of the dearest Unity ministers I know, named Martha Smock. And the title of this prayer is Let Your Heart Listen. And so she's speaking as though God were speaking to you. So I'll ask you in this meditation to be in a comfortable position and to let your ears and your heart open up so that you can hear. Because these words are for you today. You are my beloved child. Out of my own self have I created you. My life is your life. My breath is your breath. My spirit is your spirit. There is nothing to fear, for I am with you, mighty in the midst of you. I am the life that heals you. I am the love that lifts your heart and sets you free. I am the wisdom of your mind. I am the light of your path. I am the peace of your soul. I am with you, dear child, through every hour of the day and the night, standing with you, upholding you, supporting you, revealing myself to you and through you. I am the love that will not let you go. I seek you out when you do not know how to reach me. I seek you out when you do not know how to reach me. I speak in your heart to comfort you. I am the life of your body, and my life is perfect and eternal. Trust me, I am your health. I am with you in all the experiences of your life. I am the power in you to understand. I am the power in you to forgive. I am the power in you to become. Beloved, I am with you. Live in me. Rejoice in me. You are my beloved child. You are my beloved child. I'm speaking these words. Spirit coming through, the vibrations of my vocal cords delivering those words. And your ears hearing them, your heart hearing them. Put your hand right here, beloved. Put your hand right here. Breathe so that you can feel your chest rising. Breathe so your belly fills up. And know that the fear monsters, the worry monsters, the apathy monsters, the angry monsters, the everything else monsters, they're of our own creation. And yet within us is this spirit speaking to us. Of all the things in the universe that were created, spirit decided that you were important enough to be created as well. So rejoice in that. Live in that. Breathe and take life from that. Know that all is well. The appearances that we see are temporary. No matter how long they last, they're temporary. Our life is eternal. Sometimes knowing that takes us through those moment by moment by moment worries and fears that we have. This is temporary. And I will say to you, as we close this meditation, all is well. All is well, and all is very well. And beloved, you're doing fine. You're doing just fine. And so it is. Amen.